Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles while you're sitting down. Go to Hebrews in chapter 10. I'm sorry, Hebrews in chapter 11, Hall of Faith. Hebrews and chapter 11. I have in my hand this morning a brand new Bible. You know, I haven't bought a Bible in about 25 years. People give them to me. In fact, I had two Bibles given to me last Monday. This is one of them. And this is a Bible similar, it's the very same Bible I've used for the last multiple times in a row, because it's good to get used to where things are in the Bible. And I kind of hesitantly leave my Bible that I just finished up with in the study. I hesitantly leave it because I've got so many good notes in that Bible. That's kind of my brain is what it is. And now I've got a Bible in front of me here this morning, and basically, other than what I prepared for this morning, every page is brand new. Man, there's nothing on it. Lots of room for notes. It smells like new leather, kind of like a new saddle. It smells like new leather, and I got to get this thing broken in. I want you to know I love the Word of God. Amen. Its words are sweet to the taste. Amen. Sweeter than honey, the Scripture says. I'm so glad I got a book that God has inspired and God has preserved. Amen. We're going to hear from the Word of God this morning and trust that it'll answer some questions that perhaps you have and I have as well. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, would you bless this morning? God, I pray again for the second time. We need to hear from you. Lord, I don't take that lightly. I know it's a fearful thing to stand in the pulpit and handle the Word of God. I don't want to mislead anyone. We understand that I know that one day I'm going to stand before you for what I preach. And I want it to be good Bible doctrine. Lord, help me this morning to exalt Christ and the will of God. And Lord, again, someone unsaved, we pray for their salvation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Old school was wonderful. You know what happened last Monday? God answered prayer. The church prayed as a church family. How many of you prayed every day that week that you're supposed to? How many of you prayed that night before you went to bed, that morning when you got up before that second cup of coffee? Remember that challenge? God heard your prayers. God bless. The very first hour, the very beginning at 2 o'clock, that very first workshop, there were 189 people here, and it just grew. It just grew and kept growing every hour. And before the night was done, I know there were over 600 people here. We had people downstairs, people in the connector building. We had multiple preachers that had to leave before the evening service. And you saw all the preachers that were here on Monday night. We heard from heaven. Amen. Over and over again. You know what really touched my heart is to hear a veteran preacher standing right there before he did his workshop say to another preacher within earshot of my ears, "Brother, pray for me. I'm scared to death." As a veteran preacher, he knew he was standing up in front of God's men. We struck a blow for God last Monday. Amen. Now the devil's still throwing haymakers. Man, he is fighting tooth and nail. And I just pray and I just trust. If I could somehow impart to you the messages I've received, the phone calls, the texts, men that were just so touched by God last Monday, man, it would thrill your heart. We had one man from downstate give a $1,000 check for our building fund. He said, "Man, you got to build here real quick. You know, somehow, some way, you got to make room." It's just amazing to me how good God is. This morning, I want to preach this message. Is there Bible evidence that heaven is aware of what is going on the earth today? And I believe there is. And we're biblicists, we're old-time fundamentalists, we're academic biblicists, and we've got to look for the answers in the book that God wrote. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. I want you to stand with me one more time. I know you've been up and down, but I'm going to read some scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Verse 9, chapter 11. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And oh, what a city. Go ahead and be seated. 327 times heaven is mentioned in the Word of God in your Bibles. 327 times it's stated and understated in the English language so you and I can understand. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. By the way, key word in what we just read and in John chapter 14 and what I just quoted to you, hath prepared. Heaven is a prepared place. It's 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. You've heard this before. I just want to throw this out real quickly by way of introduction. Understand, this is a city like this world has never, ever seen. If the Rocky Mountains are 14,440 feet tall, I've never paced it, never measured it, but that's what I've read, 14,440 feet tall, and you can see them from 100 miles away. The celestial city, being 1,500 miles high, is 7,920,000 feet high. The holy city, that in its dazzling glory, will be able to be seen from afar. If every level, and I don't know how it's built, I've never seen it. I just know that Paul, after he came back from heaven and wrote down what he saw, he said, I saw things it's not lawful for me to mention. Amen. If every level, if there are levels, and it might be different ways it's put together, but it's 1,500 miles high, and if every level is 20 feet tall, that's a pretty tall level, there'd be 396,000 floors to the celestial city. Now, I just don't think it's level after level like that. I think it's a beautiful city, and a river runs through it. Amen. And the tree of life is on either side of that river. And it's a place where there's no tears and no heartache and no death. A place where we will never grow old. Understand this, heaven is real. And I asked this question all week long in my mind, and I studied and I didn't exhaust it. The scripture is so rich and so full. And it seemed like every day I found something more and something more. Can our loved ones view what is going on this earth? And I want to tell you, I think with the authority of Scripture, they're engaged. They're connected. If they so choose, I don't know how that works, they're able to see. I believe there are those in heaven that viewed what happened here last Monday. I think that when Brad stood up and sang, oh, what a Savior, there were tears in heaven that day. They're not wiped away yet, tears of joy. And I think the angels probably said, and the saints that have gone on before us, oh, you don't know the half. Oh, what a Savior. I believe that when the preachers at the end of the day sang a cappella, it will be worth it all, there were shouts in heaven. I believe when that lady received Christ as her Savior at a preacher's meeting during the altar call, there was rejoicing in heaven. I know what the scripture says about that. So let's start this out by saying this. I told you I didn't have much of an outline. I don't. Number one, heaven is real. Go to John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's where I want to go. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. This is Jesus. He's not a deceiver. I go to, here's the word again, prepare. If Jesus spoke the worlds and this universe into being in 6 days with all of its, we can see the hand, the fingerprint of God, even on creation. Even though this is a sin-cursed world, it is a fallen world. You can see the beauty in the leaves. You can see it in the North Country. You can see the rocks and the rivers and the lakes and the Andes Mountains and the Alps and the jungles of the Congo and all of the creation of God. You can see the handiwork of God there. And if Jesus spoke it into being, that's what it says he did, out of nothing in 6 days. And we read in John in chapter 14, he has been preparing the mansions in glory for over 2,000 years. What a place heaven must be. Let me read again, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 9:22, last Sunday night, after the evening services, evangelist Joe Mark went to heaven. It shocked me when I heard it. It was evangelist Joe Mark. Some people like him, some people didn't like him, but he had a sense of humor that a lot of people did not understand unless they were with him for any length of time. I'll say this about Joe. He was a soul winner. And he spent his life traveling this country and preaching the gospel in local churches, no matter how small they were, no matter how big they were. And I won't go into any of the Joe-isms. I could actually share a few of them. I watched the funeral online. I thought, man, that's Joe. That's Joe Mark. What they're talking about, man, that is Joe Mark. But here's what I remember about Joe Mark. He led my drunkard grandpa to the Lord. Amen. That's what I remember. I remember a little white country church, white clapboard country church, with theater seats in, not padded seats, wooden seats, but theater seats. He stood up and he preached a message on hell. Man, I was just young in the Lord. I was in like seventh grade, and I was like the third row, and I was just like, man, I mean, he thundered hellfire and brimstone, preaching a good Bible message, all kinds of scripture. And my grandpa was there that night, and grandpa didn't get saved. I just happened to be walking behind my grandpa as he left the church. One little door to the front of that church. Joe Mark was out front with the preacher. It was dark outside, and it was already cold outside, and people were filing out. I was right behind my grandpa Metcalf, and he's about 6'2", and big, tall, boisterous man, big voice. And every day of my life, I saw him drunk. Every single day that I can remember, he'd go to sleep drunk. Man, that's just the way it was. And I remember thinking, man, grandpa didn't get saved. And I'm walking behind him, and Joe Mark stuck his hand out, and grandpa took his hand and said, is it too late to get saved? Oh, man, they were shouting in heaven that day. Yeah. My grandpa's with the Lord. I just got to believe that what Joe Mark was in his life, grandpa was there right on shore. He was at the gate to welcome him home. Yeah. I just believe that. I know what the scripture says. Number one, heaven is real. Boy, it's a prepared place. Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 22. Don't turn there. We just got through reading a few verses of that. Number two, it is a place. That's also found here in John and chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. It isn't the figment of someone's imagination. It isn't a religious dream 1,000 light years away. Heaven is more real than this earth is real. This earth was created by God. Heaven was created by God. And it's the abode of God. And the saints, the born again people from ages gone by, they're there right now in that place called heaven. D.L. Moody said, one day you're going to read in the paper that D.L. Moody is dead and gone. He said, when you read that, don't you believe that. I'll be more alive then than I ever was on this earth. I'll be in the presence of God. Heaven is real. It's prepared, and it's a place, and it's home. You'll be able to touch the cheeks of your loved ones. It's home. I said this 2 weeks ago. Let me say it again this morning. When you open your eyes in heaven after you've drawn your last breath here on this earth, the first word out of your mouth isn't going to be rats. That's not it. Man, that's not it. You're going to be overwhelmed, just like I'm going to be overwhelmed. Heaven is real. Heaven is immediate. It is immediate. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. There is no purgatory in the word of God. Search in vain, you'll not find it in your Bibles. It's not there. There is no limbo. There's no soul sleep. There's no place where disembodied spirits just float around. That's not how it is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There's no journey of 3 days or 7 days. None of that. All the work is done. It was a journey up Mount Calvary for the Savior. And when he was nailed to the cross and shed his blood and made blood atonement for the sins of all mankind from every age, that blood atonement was made available to all mankind, to every sinner that will come to Christ. Man, I'm going to heaven one day, not because of who I am, not because of what I've done. Man, I've done nothing. I'm a sinner. That's all I am. A sinner saved by grace. It's because of Christ that I'm going to heaven one day. That lady that bowed her head and received Christ last Monday night among a bunch of preachers. Man, who'd have thought someone had gotten saved during a preacher's meeting? I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. I've been to preacher's meetings where there's national meetings where there's thousands in attendance. I've never seen somebody get saved during one of those services. I'm sure it's happened. I'm glad it happened here too. Man, just the fact that God is still in the business of saving souls. Heaven, just know this, is immediate. We'll know one another in heaven. You don't have time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. Mount of Transfiguration. What I want to read here very quickly, and I believe this, we will have personality in heaven. People will know who you are, and they'll know who I am. We'll have our glorified bodies. They'll no longer carry the scars and the stains of sin. We won't, that old nature will be totally gone. Man, we'll truly be children of God in the presence of God. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful eternity. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful life. And we'll know one another. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, they recognized Elijah and Moses. They thought, man, there's Elijah. They'd never met them before. But they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is transfigured into his glorified body. And here's these three sinners looking, and their jaws are open. They go, what? Look at this. And they recognize that's Moses. That's Elijah. Verse 1 of chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He said, man, we want to do something. Now, we can look at a parallel passage of scripture. We don't have time to do it this morning. I'm not to where I want to get to this morning. Here's the danger of not having that outline. But know this, in heaven, we're going to know one another. We sang this morning, in a land where we'll never grow old. Yeah, I wonder if Mom knows what's going on here this morning. I wonder if Dad knows. I mean, you're the people they love. I'm confident they're engaged. And they know. Little boy and a grandpa out on the front porch looking up into the sky. And the grandpa says, son, what are you thinking about? And the grandson says, Papa, you think Grandma can see us right now? And the grandpa said, well, a lot of life up there. I'm sure she's real busy, but I'm confident she knows exactly what's going on. And then he says, Papa, looking up at the stars. You ever see the stars at night? Have you been taking time to do that? Can you possibly live in the North Country and be so busy with life you don't look at the handiwork of God? Amen. Man, get away from all the lights. It declares the glory. The handiwork declares the glory of God. The little boy looks up at all the stars from horizon to horizon and says, Papa, just think. If heaven is that pretty on the outside, what it must be like on the inside. We're going to know one another in heaven. We're going to recognize one another. They observe from heaven with eager interest all that is going on today. I wanted to look at, we're going to shorten it up, 1 Samuel 28, we won't go there. I want to look at the rich man in Luke in chapter 16, we won't go there. Let's go to Luke in chapter 9 and verse 31. Let's do that. Luke chapter 9 and verse 31. Verse 30 says, and behold, oh, here's the Mount of Transfiguration again. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. You know what they were talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration? The cross. What Jesus, the Son of God, was going to have to go through. I think Moses and Elijah were there to encourage him. Said, man, you know what? It's going to be out. You're doing an atonement for the world. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. I believe in heaven. And they spoke of earthly events there in their glorified bodies. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's go there quickly. Revelation 6 and verses 9 through 11. Love to hear those Bibles turning pages. And mine are a little bit stuck together, some of them right now. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The martyrs in heaven during the tribulation are told to be patient with the events of this earth. I believe they knew and could see and will see what is happening. They witnessed the wars, the persecution, the wickedness, and the wrath of God. Go to Luke in chapter 15 and verse 7. Luke in chapter 15 and verse 7. Saints and angels, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. How do they know the sinner repenteth? Unless they could see. I don't know if it's some kind of glorified super satellite TV. I have no idea. I don't know that. I don't understand the spiritual realm, but I know heaven is a physical place and it's a real place. And the saints of God, Adam was created in the image of God originally, right? And he fell from that glory. He fell from that image because he chose sin. So that tells me what God created there in the Garden of Eden, here on this on the earth, that must be what heaven is just a little bit like. And Adam was after the man is after the similitude of God. So we're going to have physical bodies. Jesus in his glorified body ate and he drank and he fellowshipped. You know, and I believe there's great joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10 in this battle for souls. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If they're rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that comes to Christ, then they know what's going on down here. They're able to understand. You say, Pastor, that's a little bit unnerving to know that heaven can see. Yeah, kind of make you ashamed, doesn't it? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. If they can see, and we're doing nothing, they understand what the score is and how big this thing is and what it's all about. Let me word it like this. The biggest thing going on in heaven, second only to worship around the throne, is the battle for souls here on this earth. You know they know what's going on. The writer of Hebrews talked about, John R. Rice referred to it as the heavenly grandstand. Right after Hebrews chapter 11, all these, the hall of faith, all these great things done by great people of God in the Bible. And then he says in the verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore, knowing this, because of this, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. That great word is the word mega. A great cloud of witnesses. They see. They testify. They're able to know. They want someone to go talk to their grandchild. They want someone to go talk to their grandma. They know what's happening. A life is coming to the end of its time. It's pilgrimage here in this earth. A soul winner has got to go there. God raises up New Testament soul winning churches that are evangelistic and reaching out. And from that church, people go in like little rescue boats and they go out and lead people to Christ. That's what it's all. Heaven is aware. Heaven is connected. Heaven eagerly cheers us on. That's what a grandstand does. Verse 1, Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the junk, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28, same chapter. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened, knowing there is a great heavenly grandstand filled with people that know exactly what's going on. They experience what we're experiencing today. Some of them were persecuted, some of them were martyred, and they're cheering us on. In my mind, my little boy's mind now, I think of an Olympic event and the 26-mile marathon. And the runners have run a grueling race. Now they're entering the stadium. And the stands are filled. And the people in the stands are cheering them on. There's a dad up there. He's saying, come on, son. Come on. It's time to kick it. That final kick. This is the time. And they're spent. They're already spent. But the grandstand's there cheering them on. I'm telling you, there's joy in the presence of the holy angels of God. They're singing and rejoicing in heaven today. When sinners come to Christ. Amen. That is why we're here. We got a God that loves us. He sent his only begotten Son. Jesus went to the cross after a perfect life, being the Messiah, the promised one. I couldn't pay for my sin without going to hell, so he paid for it for me. He died on Mount Calvary and shed his blood for me and for you. He so loved the world. Then God ordained the church and sent the Holy Spirit and said, you're to rescue souls. And there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. They're connected. They're engaged. They know the battles that we're fighting. And they know what's going on. As a people of God, we need to be together in this work of rescuing the perishing. It's unfortunate there was no outline, but let me just wrap it up by saying this. What are you doing? What is your part in reaching this world for Christ? The people that are in your life, have you told them verbally about Jesus, the best friend you've ever had? The one who forgave you of all your sins? In spite of the world being crazy and gone nuts and everything upside down and liars in every direction and everybody's got an agenda, how about you tell them about the Prince of Peace? And what he did on Mount Calvary, and how they too can be born again. You got a grandpa in heaven, you got a dad in heaven, you got a mom in heaven, you got a son in heaven. They're concerned about one thing, the souls of their brethren. Amen. What are you doing to win them to Christ? Old school was a wonderful day. When Brad stood up and sang, oh, what a Savior, they were weeping in heaven. He said, oh, you don't know the half. And it sounded, he sang it good. Amen. I love that lyric tenor. And it's when the preachers at the end of the service sang, it will be worth it all from their hearts. They shouted in heaven. When that little lady received Christ as her Savior, they sang in heaven. They were rejoicing. That's what it's about. Let's not ever stop winning the lost. You know, God's brought us every inch of the way. Everything we've got at Fundamental Baptist Church, it's God's. And he's the reason we have it. Let's not pick up our feet and coast. Man, don't do that. Don't do like Bo on the back of that tandem bicycle that his dad pedals around. Bo's supposed to be helping pedal that bike, but every time I see him, he's got his feet up in the air enjoying life. Yeah. And he's a chunk, you know. 75 pounds, something like that, man. Don't do that. Don't let your brethren go to war and you lay around in the lap of luxury.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from from the Good Book